A reading from Luke chapter 5, verses 27 to 32, can be found on page 1033 of your pew Bibles. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." This is the word of the Lord.
So it's Christmas Eve then, and I have a question for you. It's one of those big questions. Is Christmas Eve a time for giving or a time for getting? Now, I know that in Mistletoe and Wine, Cliff Richard says it's both. But let's just ignore Cliff for a minute. Which is it? Is Christmas about giving or getting? Well, imagine something like this happened on Christmas morning. Imagine if, you know, the morning comes, and it's the time for opening presents, and you hand that gift that you've lovingly chosen with care, paid for yourself, for a person that you love, you hand it over to them, and as you do that, they pull out their wallet and say, "Oh, that's very nice, how much?" It'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? It'd be a bizarre thing to do. You'd probably have to say something a bit like, "I don't think you understand. This is a gift. You don't pay for it. It's not something you pay for. You receive it. It's not something you've earned. It's something I'm giving. It's a gift." That's what it is. That's the issue, isn't it, with a gift? A gift is given. It's not paid. You don't give a gift to someone because they've earned it, do you? It's not performance related. It's a gift. You give it to them because you love that person and you want to give. And that's all. But you know, I think many, many people, and quite possibly you, think that we can do something a bit like that with God. People think that we can buy God's generosity. They think that we can be entitled to his blessing. They think that we earn the right to good things from God. Or else, at least we try really hard to earn the right to those good things. Maybe you think that. Tonight I want to show you, I want you to see that is a big mistake. It's my deep conviction that if you can get over that way of thinking about God, then you will be free to enjoy the message of Christmas so much more. And I want that for you because God wants that for you. So, let's look quickly then at one of the more shocking things that Jesus said. We've already heard tonight about Jesus' birth, about how it was good news of great joy. Wasn't it? Peace on earth to those with whom God's favour rests. That was the good news to the shepherds, wasn't it? That was what the angels said. But did you notice that other thing that we read a minute ago, that Anthea read for us? Those words of Jesus himself saying why he had come. He said he'd come for some people and not for others. That's pretty surprising, isn't it? Listen to what he said. He said, "I have not come for the righteous, but for sinners." Do you see that? He starts off by saying who he's not come for. I've not come for the righteous, he said. Are righteous and sinners, that's all very religious sounding language, isn't it? Let's paraphrase. I've not come for the goodies, I've come for the baddies, says Jesus. It's not very Christmas Eve, is it? It's not very Father Christmas, is it? You know, that. Have you been very, very good this year? Oh, well, then he's not come for you. He's come for the bad kids. You see what I mean? This is Jesus being anti-Santa, isn't it? What does he mean? What does he mean? Well, he explains what he means. He says he's like a doctor. He says it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You don't go to see a doctor because you're well, do you? Not unless you really want to waste your time, their time. You know, maybe it's you that's building these waiting room queues. I don't know. But if you go to see a doctor, the thing that qualifies you to be seen is the fact that you're ill. The fact that you're sick. And Jesus says, that's how it is with me. I've come for sinners. Only for sinners. And he told an amazing story to get this message across. It's a story involving the characters that he was talking to in that conversation we've already heard read. On the one hand, you had the Pharisees. They were there. Now, we tend to think of Pharisees, if we think of them at all, as baddies. But in the time when Jesus was saying these things, everybody thought of them as the goodies. They were very much the goodies. They were the people who everybody knew was always right, who had the right thing to say all the time. They always had the right answer for everything. I don't know what the contemporary equivalent would be. I don't know, maybe Stephen Fry or John Humphreys or somebody like that. A sort of person who always knows the right thing to say, who most people would respect. And then at the other end of the scale are the tax collectors. Nobody liked them. They were politically, their politics were all wrong. They were working for the wrong side. Their morals were questionable. They were the sort of people that comedians would laugh at and the rest of us would get quietly annoyed about. And so Jesus tells the story and says, well, there's this Pharisee and this tax collector, and they go to the temple, each of them, to meet with God. And when they get there, the Pharisee says, thank you, God, that I'm not like the others. I'm not like the tax collectors. I do the right things. I've been good. And who would argue with him? And then there's the tax collector over in the fringes, bowing his head, hiding away, hardly able to speak except to say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says, which one goes home in the right? Which one gets it right with God? The goody who knows that he's good, or the baddie who knows that he's bad? Now, what do you think? Now, I guess if it was up to you who you'd put on the good list, I reckon you'd go for the goody. I would. But Jesus says, it's the man who humbles himself before God. It's the one who doesn't come with a bargaining chip in his hand. It's the one who doesn't think he's entitled to anything from God, but just asks. Jesus has come for him, not for the other guy. The tax collector goes home justified, Jesus says. That is, God counts him as guiltless. He's clean. Not so the Pharisee. I went to India once. I went there a few years ago. Some of you will know India well, some of you less so. I guess if you know anything about India, you'll know that there's lots of Hindu shrines around. It's one of the features of the place. Every morning people go to those shrines and they make an offering of some sort when they're there. And I got talking to a guy there who was a Hindu, and I was interested in what was going on. And I said to him, I said, well, why do people go there? Why do they go to the shrines in the morning? His answer, I thought, was really interesting. He said, they do it because they want good luck. They want things to go well for them. And so they make their offerings. He was saying that they're trying to buy blessings from their gods. Now, I don't just say that in order to have a go at Hindus. I have no doubt that there are people here tonight who maybe have come for similar reasons. You know, maybe You're hoping that things will continue to go well for you. So you've come here. Or maybe things have been going badly and you'd like that to change. And so you've come here. And you think that by being here, maybe you're doing your duty in some way. And you know, if you scratch God's back, maybe he'll scratch yours in return. Now, you wouldn't put it in words like that. That's a bit crass, isn't it? But deep down somewhere, you think that that's how it works. If you're good enough, God will pay out. The message of Christmas is so much better news than that. The message of Christmas is not, if you do your duty enough, then you can have some of God's blessings. It's not performance-related pay. It's the Christmas message is about the most fantastic gift. That's what amazes the shepherds. The angels say to them, today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you, to us. You know, what have we done? Nothing. That's the point. This is God, the loving, generous Father, giving his very best, his Son, so that we can become sons of God too, members of his family, with all of the privileges that that will bring. You know, free access to our Father in heaven now. We can live now with God with us. And the keys to the family home as well. You know, a certain future. Not just uncertainty followed by death, but life with God. The fullest life. Life that will not be spoiled by evil and death and pain and so on. That's the gift. Today, a Saviour has been born to you. So how do you receive a gift? Well, Jesus tells us again, immediately after the telling the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector, he says this. He says, whoever will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Last Friday I was dressed up as Father Christmas. I was laughing like Brian Blessed as I doled out the presents to the children at the preschool that meets here. And when I gave them the presents, what did they do? They just came and took them, didn't they? You know, none of them tried to settle up with the costs or gave me a lengthy explanation of why I was investing well in giving a present to them. They just came and took the gifts. They received. It's an obvious thing to say, isn't it? But the thing to do with a gift is to receive it. The way to respond to Jesus Christ is to receive him with open hands, like the tax collector in the story. You know, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He doesn't rely on his own good standing before God. He knows he doesn't have any. He just throws himself, all of himself, on the mercy of God and receives. Of course, the reason that I guess we shy away from that a little is that it is so humbling. I guess we'd probably much rather have God on our terms. We'd much rather trade with him. You know, a bit of duty here, a bit of time there, that should do it. That allows us to be the ones who set the agenda. We expect God on our terms. We write the contract. You know, God, if I give you this, I expect that. But Jesus doesn't offer that option. He offers himself. Take or leave. God's personal presence and the keys to his kingdom, Jesus himself. That's the offer. And that's why Christmas really is all about getting, from our point of view. God has given. He's given himself for us. The question for us every Christmas, and not least tonight, is will you receive that gift with open hands? Why don't we pray? Our Father, thank you for Jesus coming to us. Thank you that, as you say in your word, that because you love the world so much, you sent your one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for that promise that so thrilled the shepherds that they ran to Bethlehem and then they told everyone. Thank you for that. Lord, we pray that that same gift, that same promise, that same overflowing love of God would fill us this Christmas and inspire us and drive us and bless us and free us from that sense of duty and obligation in order to buy your favour. Lord, please thrill us with Jesus, that we might be his through and through. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.